Well, we've all seen, at least I have, assumed most of you have, in years past and currently too, seen worship services on TV and the internet, where they, you know, various churches broadcast their worship services. And we see quite often where congregations are, in these, particularly these mega churches, large churches, there have the congregations are singing and dancing and waving their hands and jumping up and down, and most often to very upbeat music, even rock and roll music, and they're in the aisles and running up and down. And, and I can remember years past, I don't know if it's true now, you know, some will get tremors and they'll fall down on the ground and shake, and as though the Holy Spirit somehow motivating them. I think we've all seen that. Some people get completely out of control. And so you, when you watch that, you wonder, and I'm not casting aspersions, but you wonder if in the minds of those people that are just joyously dancing and throwing their arms up and screaming and all of that, are their minds on the God they worship, or are their minds on the music and on the feeling good and the singing and all of that? That's a question. And of course, that's gone on certainly in the United States and other Western societies and all around the world, actually, for decades, hundreds of years. And historically, in the greater Church of God, going back certainly to the 1930s and 40s, when the Worldwide Church of God started, we as a group ran from that way of worshiping, because it just seemed unseemly, and it was like putting on a show. And much of it being not much more than just a feel-good time, where you come and dance and live it up and, you know, sing and all of that, and then go home and we feel better than when we started. And we as the greater church avoided the word praise, because those services were praise services, allegedly praising God Almighty and waving hands to Him and singing to Him and dancing and shouting to Him and all of that. And we avoided that, the subject of praise or the word praise, because it became kind of a Protestant thing, you know, something that we avoided. But when you look at it, it is not a Protestant thing. It's a biblical thing. You know, praise, praising God Almighty, is a biblical thing. And it's a biblical subject. But I don't think I can ever remember hearing a sermon on that subject. We talked about obedience. We talked about, you know, ruling with a rod of iron and the wrath of God, but we rarely ever talked about praising God. So a while back, I decided at the suggestion of one of our members, wrote me an email to that effect, and so I decided to look up all the derivatives of the word praise, praiseth, praised, praised, and so on, and there were hundreds, and I went through every scripture in the Bible using that word to actually see what the Bible actually said on the subject. And so, by way of introduction to this subject, we'll get to the title in just a minute, let's start with David's example of praise and singing praise and demonstrating praise. Let's go, before we turn there, let's remind ourselves that David had a heart pleasing to God Almighty. We find that in Acts 13 and verse 22, if you want a reference. So if David is going to be in God's kingdom, and he's going to be over the 12 tribes of Israel, we'd best look at his example, because there might be something we've been missing or something we need to learn. And his example might give us insight into this subject of of praising God Almighty. So with that in mind, let's go to Psalm 18 and verse 3. And this is all by way of introduction to the subject. Psalm 18 and verse 3, David is writing. Everything will be out of the King James unless otherwise noted. Psalms 18, verse 3. Notice what David says. He said, I will call upon Yehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Implication being, if I praise Yehovah, that will help me to be saved from my enemies. Now let's go all the way toward the back of the book of Psalms, Psalm 145, and we're going to read the first three verses. And if you have a New King James or some of the, in the margin of the King James, it says David's Psalm of Praise, a whole psalm dedicated to David praising Yehovah. Psalm 145, we'll read the first three verses. Verse 1, David says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Verse 2, every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is Yehovah, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Then let's go to the next chapter, Psalm 146. We'll just read verses 1 and 2. David is praising Yehovah. Psalm 146, verse 1, David says, praise you, Yehovah. Praise Yehovah, O my soul, or my life, my being. While I live, I will praise Yehovah. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So we get the idea, and these are just three of hundreds, we get the idea that praising Yehovah was very important to David. And we're going to see as we go through it, it's much more important maybe than we even thought. It's very important to David, and dozens of psalms indicate that if we take the time to go through them with the idea of the subject of praise. So maybe the idea of praising our Father is not so Protestant after all. I'm not talking about the manner in which we do it, but the idea of praising our Father. Now, the Hebrew word for praised in all the scriptures that we just read, the three that we just read, is Strong's 1984. And it's transliterated into the English word halal, halal. It's spelled H-A-L-A-L, pronounced ha-lal. And that's where we get the English word hallelujah. And let me read from the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament by Baker and Carpenter on halal, Strong's 1984. They say, quote, a verb meaning to praise or to commend. It can also mean to boast or to shine. Going on, the root meaning may be to shine, but could also be to shout. And that's going to come up later. The word most often means praise and is associated with the ministry of the Levites who praise God morning and evening. And we'll see that before we're done. Going on, they say, all creation, however, is urged to join in, and various instruments were used to increase the praise of God. It wasn't just the voice, but with musical instruments. They conclude by saying the word hallelujah is a command to praise Yah, Y-A-H, the Lord, derived from the word halal. So we see here, by way of introduction, we've read three Old Testament scriptures, but was it continued in the New Testament? Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 47. Acts 2 and verse 47. This is after Pentecost, and it's talking about all the believers and how they gathered together and they sold what they had, and they kept everything in common for a period of time. Acts 2 and verse 47, but notice, all who believed, what were they doing? Verse 47, praising, halal, the Greek translation of halal, and the Greek word for the is not translated, praising the God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see even the New Testament, when it started with the brethren praising God Almighty for what was going on, for their conversion, their calling, their baptism, and the mighty works that were being done. So even from these very few verses, we see that it's obvious we should praise our Father, Yehovah. But then the question becomes, how do we go about that? What's the right way to do that? Which leads to our title today is, how are we to praise our Father? How are we to praise our Father? And we'll cover it in 5 points. But let's, the first couple of points, we're going to establish some background. Point number one, in the spirit realm, angels continually praise Yehovah, our Father. And we could go through every verse in the Old Testament and establish that and spend the rest of the time just on talking about how angels praise God Almighty. But let's look at Psalm 148, and we'll just read the first two verses. Psalm 148, verses 1 and 2. Again, out of the King James, Psalm 148, verse 1. What we're told, praise Yehovah from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Verse 2. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. And when you read through the Old Testament, the angels are continually singing praise to God Almighty, Jesus Christ sitting right beside Him, between the cherubims, in front of the sea of glass, and we don't know, there might be millions of angels singing in sounds we as humans can't even hear, but can you imagine the majesty of it all? So we see here that the angels praise Him, and glorify and honor Him. Now let's go to the New Testament. Just use two scriptures here to establish this fact. Luke 2 and verse 8. And we're breaking into the account of the birth of Christ, birth of the Messiah, the forerunner of our salvation. And the shepherds are in the field. Luke 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Verse 3, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can you imagine being out on, you know, in a pasture, and then having the glory of the Lord descend on you, and what you must have thought? Verse 10. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And notice verse 13, and suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, God Almighty, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. So can you imagine what it would be like to be a shepherd and have your eyes opened up, probably peering into heaven in a vision, to see the angelic host singing praises to God Almighty because of the birth of his son. So we to establish a background, we need to understand in the spirit realm, angels continually praise God Almighty. Now, to the second point, again establishing some background, in the Old Testament, the Levites were appointed to praise Yehovah. That was one of their jobs. They were called to praise God Almighty. Let's look at the time of David. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 23, and we're going to read verses 27, 28, and then verse 30. 1 Chronicles 23, verses 27 and 28, and then verse 30. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 27. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. And because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of Yehovah in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and in the work of the service of the house of God, going to verse 30 now, and to stand every morning to thank and praise, that's halal, Yehovah, likewise at evening. So we see here that the Levites are tasked with praising Yehovah morning and evening every day of the year. That was their job. Now, did that continue? Well, let's look in the days of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. This is after God Almighty promised to deliver them from Ammon and from Moab. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll read verses 18 and 19. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 18 and 19. Jehoshaphat was told that he would be delivered, Judah would be delivered from Ammon and Moab. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yehovah, worshiping Yehovah. Now notice verse 19. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korites stood up to praise, that's halal again, Yehovah, God of Israel, but notice with a loud voice on high. This wasn't some quiet murmuring. They were shouting for joy and praising Yehovah because of his deliverance. So we see that some praise can be shouted, and duly so if we're delivered from death or destruction. Then Hezekiah became king of Judah, and remember, he restored temple worship. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 now and read verse 30 and see what continued on. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes, notice what they did, commanded the Levites to sing praise, halal, unto Yehovah with the words of David and of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. So when the temple was restored, again, the Levites were commanded to praise God Almighty day and night, and certainly on this occasion when the temple was rededicated, to praise Yehovah for that. Now let's go to chapter 31, and we're going to read verse 32. Chapter 31, verse 2, we're going to see here that this continued under Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2, I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Hezekiah then organized the priests and the Levites into divisions to offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, and to worship and give thanks and praise, halal, to Yehovah at the gates of the temple. So we see it continuing now in Jerusalem at the temple. Now, did this continue into the second period, temple period, after the rebuilding of the temple? Let's go to Ezra chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 10 and 11. Ezra chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. Did this continue on? Ezra 3, verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Yehovah, what a joyous time. After all that they had been through, captivity in Babylon, all of that, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise Yehovah, after the ordinance of King David of Israel. So we see here it is appropriate, and in various circumstances, to praise Yehovah with instruments that make noise, cymbals, for example. And we're going to see some other instruments that are mentioned. Going on in verse 11. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto Yehovah. Why did they do that? Because he is good and his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yehovah, because the foundation of the house of Yehovah was laid. And you can see why it would be appropriate at a time like this, when, you know, after all they had been through, coming back to the Holy Land, laying the foundation, all the trials and tribulations, and when that foundation was laid and it was finished, for the music to come out and the people to shout praise to Yehovah after all they had been through. So we see here, closing out this second point, in the Old Testament, Yehovah decreed that the Levites should lead praise to him. And of course, in situations like we just read with the laying of the foundation, the whole city, all who were there, shouted praise to Yehovah. And we see also that the Levites were tasked with praising God Almighty. Then the righteous kings of Israel and Judah praised and thanked him greatly. We see various musical instruments were used in praising God. And we see that praise can be sung, or it can be shouted, or, as we will see and know, we can praise God silently in our prayers or in even our thoughts. So that leads to the third point. Now we're getting closer to home, is the fact that we should praise our Father with singing and with music. That is appropriate. That is biblical. Praising our Father with song and with music. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22, and we'll read just one verse, verse 50. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 50. David is praising Yehovah after he was delivered from Saul. And you can imagine David's heartfelt praise at a time like this. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 50, David says, he's praising God Almighty, "Therefore I will give thanks unto you, O Yehovah, among the heathen." David says, "I will sing praises unto your name." Now, David wrote psalms that were filled with praise, but you get the idea that he wasn't king yet, and he had been saved from Saul, that this was personal between David and Yehovah. He might have mouthed the words in sentences, or he might have, in his mind, conjured up a song, and which he was very talented at doing so. We don't know. But he was giving thanks and giving praise because he was delivered. Now let's go to Psalm 7, verse 17. And this is a song of David, a psalm of David. But notice his focus. And when you go through the Psalms, it happens time after time. It's over and over and over. David singing praise to God Almighty. Psalm 7, verse 17, a song of David. David says, I will praise Yehovah according to his righteousness. And his righteousness is unlimited. And so David is saying, I'm going to sing praises in an unlimited manner because his righteousness is infinite. And we'll sing praise to the name of Yehovah Most High. And this occurs, as we're going to see quite often, is praises are sung to his name. We know his name is Yehovah, and it says here, Yehovah Most High. That tells us that Yehovah is the Most High, is the Almighty. And we see that David composed this song and many songs to praise the very name of Yehovah. Now let's go to chapter 28 and we'll read verse 7. David is speaking. Psalm 28 and verse 7. David says, Yehovah is my strength, my shield. And if we haven't learned that by now, we should know that God Almighty is our strength and our shield. He says, my heart trusted in him. And he went through a great deal of persecution and his life was on the line. And we are learning day by day, given the world conditions, to trust in Yehovah. And he goes on to say, I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. David was zealous, and he was inspired to create songs and music to praise Yehovah. He composed music, and he was very talented in that way. And I am totally lame that way. And, you know, can't carry a tune in a bucket and never played a musical instrument. And I admire David for his talent and ability, and we're the beneficiaries of that to this day. Now look at Psalm 33 and verse 1. Psalm 33 and verse 1. We'll read the first two verses. Rejoice in Yehovah, O you righteous. For praise is comely to the upright. Meaning upright people, humans, it is a right thing to do, or an honorable thing to do, a praiseworthy thing to do, to praise Yehovah. Verse 2, praise Yehovah with harp. So we see a musical instrument is totally appropriate in doing that. Sing unto him with the psaltery and with the instrument of 10 strings. So stringed instruments are appropriate. And Will Berg wrote a paper a number of years ago, and he went through and looked at all of the instruments that were mentioned in the Bible that were appropriate for music to praise God. Very interesting paper. But we see that mentioned in the Bible, there are certain specific instruments that are appropriate and were used to praise God Almighty. Now let's look at Psalm 68 and we'll read verse 32. Psalm 68 and verse 32. Psalm 68 and verse 32 tells us, sing unto God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, or a pause. So it's not just the Levites, it's not just Israel singing praises to Yehovah, but ultimately all kingdoms of the earth during the millennium are going to be taught to sing praises to God Almighty. So closing out this third point, today we praise our Father on Sabbath days like today where we sing songs. And we've gathered our own hymnal in order to do that and to try to pick appropriate songs for the worship of God Almighty so we can sing properly. And as we've seen from these scriptures, music and song are very important in praising God Almighty. And I know sometimes it's easy when we come and we gather and we start singing songs, it's time for the song service, and sometimes it's easy not to settle down and some people are talking or whatever, and finally, you know, things calm down and we start singing. And sometimes, well, for all of us, we know many of these songs by heart. We've sung them for decades. We know them by heart. And so given that fact, sometimes it's easy when we're sitting here with the songbook in front of us, we know it by heart, so we can sing the words with the back part of our mind because we know the words, but the front part of our mind is somewhere else. You know, we're thinking about what we're going to eat after services, or we're thinking about the football game the next day, or we're thinking about who knows what, looking around the room and getting distracted and things like that. It's easy to think of something else while we're singing praises to God Almighty. And I don't want to be too strong in saying so, but do you think it might be an affront to God Almighty when He says, I want you to come on the Sabbath day and sing praises to me, and then we're singing them, we're mouthing them, and I'm guilty, I'm as guilty as anybody, we're mouthing them and our mind is somewhere else. We're not focusing on the words. And sometimes what I've done recently is if I know the song by heart, I'll just close my eyes and sing because I'm not distracted. And then if I don't know the song by heart, of course you focus on the words, but you focus on the words. And who are you singing to and why are we singing? You see, we have to focus on the words and focus on whom we are singing the words to, because it's our way of praising God Almighty. And that way we worship and we praise our Creator in music and in song, which we are told to do. It is a command. It is something that has existed for millennia. So, closing point number three, we should worship and praise God Almighty in music and song. Here at services, we can do it in our homes, we can do it in our cars, we can do it while we're taking a walk. It would be pleasing to our Father. Now, point number four, getting even more specific and bringing it home, how specifically should we praise our Father? How specifically should we praise our Father? What does the Bible say about how we should go about this? What aspects of our Father should we sing praise about? So we're gonna cover a few here. Point A is, and we've seen this so far in the scriptures we've read, point A is we praise our Father's name and we praise our Father's titles. His name is Jehovah, but He has many titles. So with that in mind, let's go to Psalm 113 and verse 1. We'll just read the one verse. But we've read this before in the previous scriptures we've covered. Psalm 113, verse 1. The King James, for the word praise, also says, Hallelujah, praise you, Jehovah. Praise, O you servants of Jehovah, which we all are, praise the name of Jehovah. His name is Jehovah. We need to praise that name. Because what does that name mean? It means I have always been, I always will be, and I am right now. And He is another one of His titles, the living God. He is right now. And so with His titles of you know, living God, his name Yehovah, and we're going to see some other titles, we can use those to praise him and be a focus of our praise, the name Yehovah and its meaning. And we praise our Father that he's always been, never had a beginning. He will never have an end. And he lives right now. Let's go back to Psalm 7, and we're going to read verse 17. David, this is a song. David is singing, actually, here. Psalm 7 and verse 17. And David is praising one of Yehovah's titles. Psalm 7 and verse 17. He says, I will praise Yehovah according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of Yehovah Most High. Not only to his name, but his title, Most High. And we see one of, very clearly, that Most High and Yehovah are the same being. And this means that he is eternal. Yehovah means that. But Most High means there's nobody higher than him. He is supreme in authority. And so that is another thing we can praise our Father for, is the fact that he is supreme. There's nobody above him. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. Now let's go to Psalm 86. This is a prayer of David, and we're going to read verse 12. Psalm 86 and verse 12. This occurs over and over and over in the Psalms. David says, I will praise you, O Yehovah, my God. I will praise you with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. And as we know, his name, Yehovah, means there's never been a time I haven't been. There's never been, you know, we have, as human beings, a hard time wrapping our head around that. I can understand when we say that God Almighty will never have an end. But to say he's never had a beginning for human beings like us, it's hard to wrap our head around that. That you go back and you go back and you go back and you go back, and there's never been a time where he hasn't existed. Someday, when we're spirit beings, we'll have an aha moment where we'll all understand that. So David here is praising his name. And so point A is that we praise our Father for his name and for his titles. Almighty, Most High, Living God. And you can have a whole prayer or a whole song in our head about Living God, Most High, Almighty. A second point B is we should praise our Father for his power. David did that. Let's go to Psalm 21, read verse 13. Psalm 21 and verse 13. David writes, he says, in praising, we are exalting God, exalting our Father. And that's what David says here, Psalm 21, verse 13. He says, be you exalted, Yehovah. Exalted means lifted up. In your own strength, because we don't have strength, our Father does. So will we sing and praise your power. So we should praise our Father, the fact that he is all-powerful. He is almighty. Nobody can defeat him. Nobody can turn him. He will conquer all. And we might live to see that. Now look at Psalm 150, and we'll just read verse 1. Psalm 50 and verse 1, talking about praising the Most High God. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise you, Yehovah. praise God in His sanctuary. That's where He lives. And we can praise God Almighty about His throne and the between the cherubims and the sea of glass and the 24 elders and the millions of angels at His command. We can praise Him in, as our Creator, the power that it took to create all that is, His power to control all that exists. Everything is under His control. His power to rescue us and to save us. And I can't tell you how many times my Father has rescued me in little ways and in big ways. And going forward, I think it's going to be impressed upon us that the only rescue we have is God Almighty. Nothing else. That leads to a third way we praise God. Point C is we praise our Father for His Word. We're told that. Psalm 56. We're going to read verse 4 and then jump to verse 10. Psalm 56, verse 4 and verse 10. Notice what David doesn't leave out, our Father's Word. Psalm 56, verse 4. David says, "In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust." And it's axiomatic that when we put our trust in Him, we put our trust in His Word. "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me, because I praise His Word, I put my trust in Him and His Word." Verse 10. "In God will I praise His Word, in Yehovah will I praise His Word." Where would we be without the Word of God? To guide us, to lead us, to give us comfort, where would we be? And I think all of us, somebody said, "Look, you can take one book with you, and you can only have one book," what would that be? Well, we know what that would be. And so we should praise our Father for that one book, for His Word. A fourth, point D, is we praise our Father for what He has done for us. You think about all the things that He does for us. Now, David said that in Psalm 107. Let's just read verse 8. When you think about it, if our Father removed the air we're breathing, we would all be dead in a matter of 2-3 minutes. And if you remove the water, it would be a few days. Food, a few days. Psalm 107, verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise Yehovah for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." And this is repeated in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. David was emphasizing that. Think about the majesty of the universe. That's not even talking about the spirit world. We can't comprehend the spirit world. But the majesty of the universe brings us to our knees in awesomeness. This beautiful earth, man's doing its best to pollute it, but it's a beautiful earth that our Father's created. Notice what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 25 and verse 1, for praising our Father for all that He has done for us. Isaiah 25 and verse 1. Isaiah writes, "Yehovah, you are my God." Isaiah 25, verse 1. "I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will praise you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." What Isaiah is saying is what we read in God's Word is faithful and it's true. We read of Israel being rescued, of the prophets being rescued, and the patriarchs being rescued, and we can count on that for us. The last scripture under point D is Jeremiah 20 and verse 13. Put ourselves in this scripture. Put ourselves in this verse. We've all been there. We've all been rescued. Jeremiah 20 and verse 13. Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Jeremiah says, sing unto Yehovah. Now, and what do we do when we sing? Praise you, Yehovah. Why? For he has delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, we're told we're the weak of the world. We're the poor of the world. We're not the high and the mighty. And we look back in our lives, and how many times have we been rescued, relieved, our fanny pulled out of the fire by God Almighty? And what he has done for us is something worthy of our praise. And it's not a one thing deal, you know, where God rescues us and then we thank him and then we move on. No, we need to thank him and rethank him and rethank him. Because by rescuing us, he has brought us to the point where we are today. We praise him for our big blessings, and we praise him even for the little blessings. And we thank him for all the good that he does for us. We should praise our Father because he created us. Then he called us to be first fruits. That's the amazing thing to me, is that we're all of us here, none of us high and mighty, none of us, you know, worthy of the praise of men or anything like that. He called us to be first fruits. And I can't think of a greater blessing than that. You know, to be called as the first fruits of God Almighty, and to have he and his son live in us in this life, in this horrible, evil world. We should praise our Father because he has called us and created us. He sustains us. He rescues us. He inspires us when we need it. And we should praise him for that continually. Point E, next to the last one. We praise our Father for his goodness, his kindness, and his mercy. We praise our Father for his goodness, his kindness, and his mercy. David did just that. Let's go to Psalm 107 and verse 8. We read that a minute ago, but with a different emphasis. Psalm 107, verse 8, David says, oh, that men would praise Yehovah for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And he repeats it in verse 15, 21, and 31. What if God Almighty wasn't a good God? What if God Almighty had an evil streak? What if God Almighty had vengeance? What if God Almighty liked to play and toy with his creation? You know, like some kids pulling the wings off of a fly just for his amusement. God Almighty isn't that way. God Almighty never does anything for our harm. Romans 8, verse 28. He never does anything for our harm. And to thank him, to praise him, because he is always good. Everything about him is good. And everything he does for us is for our benefit. Look at chapter 117 and verse 1. Psalm 117 and verse 1. O praise Yehovah, all you nations. Psalm 117, verse 1. O praise Yehovah, all you nations. That will come in due course. Praise him, all you people. What a wonderful time it will be when the world praises Yehovah. Verse 2, for his merciful kindness. Why should he be praised? Verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of Yehovah endures forever. Praise you, Yehovah. He is merciful and he is kind. He is ready to forgive when we repent. He is eager to bring us back in a right standing with him. And we can count on that. How many times have we tried to apologize to somebody and they turned their back on us and walked away? Or got angry with us and started yelling at us? Well, see, our Father never does that. He is waiting, like the prodigal son, waiting for us to return, waiting for us to repent, and then all is forgiven if we repent from the heart. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 63, and we'll read verse 7. Isaiah 63 and verse 7. The Bible is just full of scriptures that tell us how good and kind and merciful our Father is. Isaiah 63 and verse 7, Isaiah is talking here. He says, I will mention the loving kindness of Yehovah and the praises of Yehovah. They're tied together. According to all that Yehovah has bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed upon them. And what is this due to? According to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. And we need to praise our Father daily for his mercy toward us, toward his favor toward us, toward his opening doors for us, protecting us. The list goes on and on and on. The last scripture under point E is 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. This is when the ark was brought into the temple that Solomon built. And boy, you can imagine the praises that were going on when the ark was brought into Solomon's temple. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. Second Chronicles 5, verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, praising God Almighty with trumpets and song, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking Yehovah, in unison, in harmony. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praised Yehovah, saying, what were they saying? What were they praising him about? For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of Yehovah. God Almighty came down to make his abode in that house. And praises with musical instruments and with voices. Can you imagine being there and seeing that when that happened? So we should praise our Father for his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his favor. The last one, point F, is that we should praise our Father for his thankfulness. We should praise our Father in our thankfulness, out of our thankfulness. Our thankfulness should lead to our praising God Almighty. And David did just that. Look at Psalm 92 and verse 1. The King James says this is a psalm for the Sabbath day, so very appropriate for today. Psalm 92 and verse 1. A psalm for the Sabbath day, Psalm 92 verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yehovah and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. His name is Yehovah. His title, one of his titles, is O Most High. And we praise his name, praise his title, and give thanks in doing so to him. And we see here that Yehovah and Most High are the same being. Now let's go to Psalm 106 and verse 1. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Again, talking about praising out of our thankfulness. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise you, Yehovah. O give thanks unto Yehovah. Why should we do that? For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. He is ready to forgive. He is merciful to us as his little kids. And thankfully, he is not a strict taskmaster that's ready to whip us and beat us. No, he is a loving father that when we slip and fall, yeah, it might hurt, but he's ready to pick us up, pat us on the fanny, and point us in the right direction. Verse 2 out of the New Living Translation, who can list the glorious miracles of Yehovah? And we could go around the room here, and all of you within viewing distance and earshot, and we could talk for days about the miracles our Father has done for each one of us. Day after day after day, year after year after year. Who can praise him enough? We can't praise him enough. We can't thank him enough for how he treats us and for how he takes care of us and how he rescues us and how he protects us. So in private, you know, we should be praising our Father. When we're alone, when we're walking down the road, when we're sitting in our chair, when we're driving down the road in our car, we should praise our Father. Look at Psalm 34. We'll just read verse 1. This is a Psalm of David. Notice what David says. Did David just put God, you know, thank God and praise him and then put him in a box and then put the box in the shelf in the closet and walk away and do something else? No, David didn't do that. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless Yehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And of all the Psalms we've already read today, and that's just a fraction of those that exist, we get the idea that David was praising God Almighty all the time, thanking him, elevating his name, blessing his name. You know, we have so many things to be thankful for. A beautiful sunset. A blessing of good food. We live like kings and queens today compared to the world 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or down through antiquity. And all of these blessings. You know, because of my protocol, sometimes I get chills and body aches. And I've never really appreciated hot running water as much as I do now. You know, to get into a shower and turn it on really hot and have it run down your back, what a blessing. And most people who have ever lived have never had that blessing. And yet we do. Even the poorest of us have that blessing. So we see in private we should praise our Father for, there's so many things, you could just do it all day long. We praise and thank our Father for his blessings, for his goodness, for his kindness, for his mercy. We do so privately when we pray to him and when we talk to him. And openly, we do it with one another. And we shouldn't be afraid of doing it with one another. Mentioning how God blessed us this week or what he did for us today. We praise his name when we bring that out. And it reinforces his goodness with all of us. So thus far, we've seen how we can praise our Father. We can praise him for his name, his titles, for his power, for his word. Praise him for what he has done to each one of us. Praise him for his kindness and his goodness and his mercy. And we can praise him by being thankful and noting that to him every day. But there's one more question that remains. And I thought about this when I first came in the church. I wondered about it. It's a final question, point number 5. Why does our Father want us to praise him? Why does he want us to praise him? He has millions of angels praising him continually. The 24 elders praise him continually. The Levites praised him morning and evening. We are to praise him every day. Why does he want us to praise him? Is he insecure and needs the praise of men? Or is he vain enough to want continual praise? Well, of course not. We see politicians, we see former presidents, we see sports figures and entertainment figures. They can't retire because they want to be in front of the crowd and receive the praise of men. It's like an addiction. Now, is our Father so weak that he needs that from us? Of course not. Absolutely not. Our Father needs nothing from men, nothing from angels, nothing from spirit beings. He lives as an entity unto himself and needs nothing from those he has created. So then, why does our Father want us to continually praise him? He doesn't need it, but why does he want it? He wants us to praise him for our benefit. Remember, everything he does is for our benefit. And he wants us to praise him because it does us good. Remember, all he does is for our good. Romans 8 and verse 28. So in praising him, it's not that he needs it and feeds on it or somehow can't exist without it. No, it's because it is good for us. Because in praising him, every time we do that, we reestablish our relationship with him. When we exalt his name, when we mention his titles as Most High and Almighty and the Living God, what we do is we remind ourselves that he is up here and we are down here. We are not Almighty. We are not Most High. We are not the Living God. In fact, we're not going to live very long at all, any of us, compared to eternity. And so by praising our Father, by praising him, we continually reestablish our view of who we are relative to him. Now that's exactly what Yehovah did to Job. Let's go to Job 38. James covered this in his two-part series on Job. But let's go to chapter 38. We'll read the first seven verses. Because God Almighty is putting Job in his place. And he's telling him, you look at you who you are, and then you look at who I am, and you tell me the difference, okay? I'll read this out of the New Living Translation, Job 38, verse 1. Then Yehovah answered Job from the whirlwind, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Verse 3, brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. How would you like to be on the receiving end of that? Verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Verse 5, who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? Verse 6, what supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So in putting Job in his place and establishing the fact that Yehovah is almighty, he is most high, he is sovereign, he can do whatever he pleases, and he has the power to do everything that he pleases. And he's saying to Job, okay, Job, can you do this? Can you even come close to doing this? Can you even comprehend what I've done? And of course, the answer is no. So if we praise our Father continually for all the reasons we've talked about today, we are reestablishing the fact that we're so blessed to know he exists. We're so blessed to be called by him. We're so blessed to have his Holy Spirit. We're so blessed to have his word. And we're so blessed to have a relationship with him, to look at him on high, to take care of us, to rescue us, to provide for us, and to usher us in to eternal life. It reminds us when we praise him. Yehovah was establishing in the mind of Job who Job was relative to God Almighty. And when we praise Him in all the ways we've mentioned, we are reminded who He is relative to us. Praising our Father keeps us looking to Him and not to men and not to ourselves. In consistently praising Him, which we should do, we are continually reminded that He is sovereign. He is supreme. And in contrast, we are weak, temporary flesh. And we have the opportunity to be like Him, eternal, and to be in His presence for an eternity. In praising Him, we are constantly reminded that He and His Son are our only hope. Man is not our hope. Governments aren't our hope. This world is not our hope. Only He and His Son can rescue us from evil, and only He and His Son can give us eternal life. And by praising Him, we are reminded continually of this fact. That's why He wants us to praise Him. For our good, He doesn't need it, but for our good. So, let's conclude now. In the future, and this is the joyous thing, all peoples are going to praise Yehovah. Let's go to Joel, read chapter 2 and verse 26. Just read that one verse. Joel 2 and verse 26. Joel is prophesying about a time yet future, not that far away. Joel 2 and verse 26. About a blessed time, a millennial time. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. But notice this, and praise the name of Yehovah your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And the fact is that there will come a time when all people will be given the opportunity to know Yehovah and to praise Him. And they won't be ashamed in doing so. They won't be called weirdos or wackos because the whole world will be doing so. And Paul made an appeal to that in Romans 15 and verse 11. Let's turn there. Romans 15 and verse 11. Paul knew a time was coming when all races, all peoples, all nations will praise God Almighty. Romans 15, verse 11, and again, Paul writes, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud Him, all you people. And remember, it was a huge change in the life of the Jews at the time to understand that God Almighty, Yehovah, that they worshipped, would deal with Gentiles, would deal with the other nations. And Paul is reminding them, there's going to be a time when all the Gentiles, all the nations of the world are going to praise Yehovah. One final scripture, let's go back to Psalm 148. We read a couple of verses in the beginning, but we're going to read the first 14 verses as we conclude. And I'll read this out of the New King James. Psalm 148, verse 1, out of the New King James. Notice what we read, and it's an appropriate closing scripture. Praise Yehovah. Praise Yehovah from the heavens. Praise Him from the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, you sun and moon, and praise Him, all you stars of light. Verse 4, praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yehovah, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever, and He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise Yehovah from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, praise Yehovah. Princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of Yehovah, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all of his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise Yehovah. What a time that is going to be. And if we praise our Father as supreme and we put him first, got one more scripture to cover. In the end, guess what? If we praise our Father and we follow the example of David and we praise him for all he's done for us, guess what is going to happen to us? We will receive praise from him. Now think about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Final scripture, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. I'll read this out of the NIV. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. NIV, Paul is writing to us today. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Now notice this promise. At that time, each will receive their praise from, the word "the" is not translated, the God. At that time, each will receive their praise from the God. So if we praise our Father, which is something we should do every day in prayer, in songs, in our heart, in our conversations with one another, there will come a day when we will receive praise from him. Praising our Father daily reminds us how blessed we are. How blessed we are to know him, that we have been called to know his Son and to know him, to know who he is, what is done, what he has done for us, what his power is, and to know and to love his mercy, his kindness, his gentleness, and his favor. So going forward, let's follow David's example of praising our Father with all our hearts.